This video is brought to you by NordVPN. Today, South Korea's ruling conservatives suffer a big defeat in parliamentary elections. Gaza ceasefire talks continue in Cairo, and the US and Japan agree a major upgrade in military ties. From TLDR News, this is your daily briefing for Thursday, the 11th of April, 2024. Our main story today, South Koreans have voted in their National Assembly elections, which saw the Liberal opposition bloc score a landslide victory, a significant blow to incumbent President Yoon Suk-yeol and his Conservative Party, the People's Power Party, or PPP. Despite super-tight poll standings, the main opposition, the Democratic Party, or DP, emerged victorious, maintaining and growing their majority in the 300-seat National Assembly. As a result, President Yoon will face a hostile parliament for the remainder of his term, something that has already hobbled him in his first 2 years. These elections were seen as a kind of midterm referendum on Yoon and his PPP, whose support has waned massively amid a cost of living crisis and a number of political scandals. In campaigns leading up to the election, Yoon was portrayed by the opposition as out of touch, using the green onion as a political symbol to show how everyday necessities have become incredibly expensive, refuting Yoon's claims that the prices are reasonable. The cost of living crisis has really hit home for the average citizen, and this was made clear in the elections as the overall voter turnout was 67%, the highest in 32 years. The perception that Yoon was out of touch cost the PPP dearly, so let's actually break down the results. The main opposition, the DP, won 175 seats, gaining 19 more seats than before. President Yoon's PPP won 108 seats, down 6 seats from the previous election. And the Rebuilding Korea Party has done really well for themselves. They only had one seat before the elections, but managed to win an impressive 12 seats. The main opposition groups, the DP and Rebuilding Korea, are perhaps the real winners in this election. They're the only parties to have actually gained seats. These election results severely dent the political power of the already unpopular President Yoon, who said that he humbly accepted the result and promised an overhaul of state affairs. Faced with this stinging defeat, senior ruling party politicians have offered to step down or take responsibility for Wednesday's heavy defeat, namely the Prime Minister Han Duck-soo and the PPP's leader Han Dong-hoon. The DP's majority means that Yoon will not be able to pass any meaningful reforms during his final 2 years in office. So Yoon will likely only have real influence on foreign policy issues, such as continuing to strengthen the country's alliance with America, counteracting North Korea's military threats, and improving South Korea's relationship with Japan. But at home, Yoon's domestic agenda and relationship with his own citizens will continue to remain deeply strained. There's more on the way, but remember to subscribe and ring the bell for another daily briefing tomorrow. Plus, if you want to support the channel like Sophia Astatine, then consider joining the new TLDR membership program for just $1.99. Three sons of Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh have been killed in an Israeli airstrike in Gaza, Haniyeh has said from Qatar, where he's based. The airstrike, which occurred on the Muslim holiday of Eid, hit a car in northern Gaza, killing three of Haniyeh's sons and also killing four of his grandchildren, Hamas has said. The Israeli military confirmed that they carried out the strike and said that the three sons had been operatives in Hamas's military wing, though Haniyeh accused Israel of acting in the spirit of revenge and murder. The Israeli military did not comment on the reported killing of four of Haniyeh's grandchildren, but Reuters cites Israeli media reports that Benjamin Netanyahu was not consulted prior to the airstrike, which was carried out by the military and Shin Bet intelligence service. The airstrike could complicate already tricky ceasefire negotiations in Cairo. CIA Director Bill Burns most recently put forward a US proposal that hopes to bring about a ceasefire and secure the release of a number of Israeli hostages held by Hamas in exchange for the release of a number of Palestinians from Israeli prisons. Following the October the 7th attacks, the Israeli government set out two aims. Bring home the hostages, of which there are still some 130 believed to be held in Gaza, and to destroy Hamas. To that end, Israeli authorities insist that they will go ahead with an invasion of Rafah in southern Gaza, despite significant international pressure not to. In other news, the US and Japan have agreed to boost their military cooperation in what President Joe Biden described as the most significant upgrade in bilateral ties since the forging of the alliance between the two countries decades ago. With a view to countering China and Russia, as well as an eye on North Korea, the two leaders hammered out more than 70 agreements on defence cooperation. This includes an agreement that will see the US and Japan cooperate through a new joint military command structure. The two countries plus Australia will also develop a new air missile defence network, and it was announced that Japanese astronauts will join NASA's Artemis program to put people back on the moon. Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida has been hosted by Biden in the US, where, among other things, a state dinner was held and Kishida addressed the US Congress, the first time a Japanese Prime Minister has done so since Shinzo Abe in 2015. At a joint press conference, Kishida said that the world was at a historical turning point, and that they had agreed to continue to respond to challenges concerning China, and would resolutely defend and bolster a free and open Indo-Pacific. In news from Scotland, police received over 7,000 hate crime complaints in the first week of this month, a substantial increase since the SNP's controversial Hate Crime and Public Order Act was introduced on April the 1st. Police Scotland said 7,152 online hate reports had been filed, with 240 hate crimes recorded, or about 3%. Around 30 so-called non-crime hate incidents, which are deemed to be motivated by prejudice without being criminal acts, were also registered. According to the police force, the majority of reports were anonymous and no further action was taken. For context, Scotland's new hate crime law has seen the government expand the terms of discrimination beyond just racial hatred, which was outlawed in the 1986 Public Order Act, to include age, disability, religion, sexual orientation, transgender identity, and variations in sex characteristics. It also created a new offence of stirring up hatred, which applies to any of the aforementioned characteristics, and involves a person behaving in a manner a reasonable person would consider to be threatening or abusive. The Act has been pretty controversial, firstly over the notion of freedom of expression, and secondly because it puts a lot of pressure on the Scottish police and justice system to determine what actually constitutes a hate crime. We've got a full explainer on the new law over on the TLDR UK channel, so take a look at that if you want to understand more. Finally, today's positive news story comes thanks to researchers at Imperial College London, who have genetically engineered bacteria to grow animal and plastic-free leather that dyes itself. Scientists have previously used microbes to grow sustainable textiles, but this is the first time that bacteria have been engineered to produce both the material and its pigment simultaneously. So far, the new vegan leather has been fashioned into wallets and shoe prototypes, and it's hoped that the process can be adapted to grow other materials too, as alternatives to cotton and cashmere. Now, watching our videos, it's understandable if, at times, you feel like the world isn't terribly safe. And, unfortunately, this can be the case online too. You might try your best to keep everything secure, maybe you try to rotate through favourite passwords online, but that's not always enough to keep you safe. In fact, the most common form of account hacking these days is called credential stuffing. Essentially, you use one of your normal passwords on a website that's poorly maintained, and then if it gets compromised, you could find that information landing on the dark web. Hackers then just attempt the same email and password combinations on your social network accounts, streaming services, banks, you get the point. Luckily for you, NordVPN has a whole bunch of tools that can keep you safe online. With their suite of threat protection tools, including a dark web monitor, which notifies you if someone leaks your credentials. It's not just that, though. Their threat protection can also warn you about phishing links and block malicious ads before you even see them. It really is all-round protection for your digital life. And if you sign up for a 2-year plan using our link, you'll not only get a massive discount, but you also get 4 extra months totally free. So if you want to support the channel and improve our journalism, then make sure that you use the link in the description so that they know that you came from us.